Well, welcome to Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. We're at Herb's house, but more importantly, we're going to be in the Word of God. And so if you have your Bible with you, I want you to be turning to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, and there is a specific word that I want us to zero in on. And it is the word humility. The title of this study is Selfless Saints, Selfless Saints. And so Paul, writing to the church, states, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility." That's our word, humility. Humility was so unique to the Christian community in the first century. The Roman Empire was so harsh and so overbearing with their enemies as well as even with their own citizens that there was not even a word in the Greek language for humility. It was a non-virtue. And many linguists feel that the Apostle Paul may have invented the word humility because there wasn't even the word, because it is a genuine mark of those who are in the kingdom of God. So what does the word humility mean? It means lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. It means to so lower yourself in submission under the lordship of Jesus Christ, that your life is now surrendered to Christ, and you are a bondservant and a slave of Christ, but also you consider the interests of others as more important than your own. The acrostic JOY, J-O-Y, has been said, it's Jesus, others, and you. And that's really should be what should be the priority in our Christian walk, that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus is number one in our lives, but we're not number two. We're last. And others are what is next most important for us. Humility really marks the first step into the kingdom of God. All true saving faith has humility in it. No one struts into the kingdom like a peacock. I mean, we come lowly like sheep, and we are to continue in the Christian life. Every step forward unto Christ's likeness is a step of humility. So in a sense, Kent, we're not growing upward. We're actually growing lower and lower in Christ's likeness. James Montgomery Boyce, who has been a great pastor that's impacted both of our lives, Kent, has used the illustration of a teeter-totter on the playground. And you can see children on each end of a teeter-totter, and when one end goes up, the other end automatically goes down, and then when the low end goes up, the other end goes down. And he said, our Christian life needs to be Jesus is always exalted and preeminent in our lives. And when He's up, we're down. We are in lowly humility. But if we elevate ourselves, then Christ will have a far lesser place in our lives. And so we need to remember this, that Christ needs to always be elevated in our hearts and in our minds. He's certainly elevated at the right hand of God the Father. And that we assume a lowly position towards one another. And we express our compassion and kindness as we assume this place of humility. I think of James 4, verse 6, that says, God is opposed to the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Well, Kent, you and I both need grace on an ongoing basis. And the only way we're going to be the recipients of this grace is as we lower ourselves, lower and lower. So, as we've looked at this virtue of humility, We are reminded, Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, walk in a manner worthy of your calling with all humility. There's a sense in which there's no halfway humility. I mean, you're either humble or you're not. As he says, all humility. And Philippians 2, 3 says, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. And 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, clothe yourself with humility. So this is a constant theme that really runs through the Scripture, the need that I have to clothe myself with humility. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Wow, it's a difficult thing for us to be humble.
You know, and here's the deal, Kent. We have every reason to be humble.
Yeah.
I mean, we have no reason to be proud.
That's an amazing
part. Zero
reason
to be proud. Every reason to be humble.
Right.
And yet we struggle with this.
So let me ask you. So that leads into my first question. Why does God want us humble? Why is God speaking through Paul here and saying, be humble, put on humility? Why is that so important?
Well, because God is the only one who is truly exalted.
Okay.
He's not going to share his glory with another.
Yeah.
He is a jealous God.
Sure.
And he doesn't want us elevating ourselves. In fact, he says if we will humble ourselves, he will exalt us. Mm-hmm. But if we exalt ourselves, he will humble us. So there's a sense in which, Kent, we're going to be humble one way or the other.
Right.
Either we humble ourselves or God will humble us.
Right.
But we're going to be humble if we're a Christian, if we're a believer, one way or another. And so there can only be one on the throne, and that is God. There can only be one at his right hand. That's Jesus Christ. The rest of us need to submit ourselves in lowliness of mind to their sovereignty and to their holiness.
So, Steve, is the reason, and I think obviously you can expound on this, but the reason we're not humble is because of our sin nature?
Yeah. Yeah, no, keep going, Kent. Talk about your sin nature.
Well, I'm just saying, it's natural for us to be the opposite, I guess, right? Because of our sin nature.
It is. We still have the sinful flesh that we live in this body of sin, and it keeps promoting ourselves. We're the hero of our own stories. It comes out in ways of self-pity, wanting to draw attention to ourselves. People feel sorry for us, etc. There's self-righteousness. And we've got to see the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the holiness of God, it's very easy to humble myself. I mean, Isaiah saw the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, woe is me, I'm a sinful man. I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. If we will gaze upon the holiness of God, we will see our own unholiness and that we have no reason to be arrogant, to be pompous, to be braggadocious, to be self-focused. I mean, as we gaze upon the holiness of God, we see how far we fall short of his holiness. So that's why we need to be continually gazing upon the holiness of God.
So I guess that leads again to the next question. So when we leave here again and I've got to go to a meeting or I go do this or meet so-and-so or wherever we go, do we need to be constantly in the forefront of our mind thinking, you need to show humility, you need to deny yourself? Do we need to constantly be thinking that? Or is it just a byproduct if I've had a good devotional, you know?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, we need a good devotion, and we need to reset our gaze and focus upon the holiness of God. So we'll never diminish that. That's necessary. But there will be a necessary outcome of that devotion, and that is self-lowering in the presence of this holy God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm even searching for more words to define this, and I think the profundity of this, maybe the simplicity of this.
Right, uh-huh.
That we know what this is.
Sure.
And it's not complicated.
Right.
It's very simple. It's he must increase,
mm-hmm.
I must decrease.
Wow, that's good.
John 3, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our message today from God's Word, that Christ must continue to increase, and I must continue to decrease in my life, and it will be an ever-ongoing process in our pursuit of sanctification. Well, may the Lord enable you to clothe yourself with greater humility even this day. God bless you. Thank you for joining us at Steadfast Hope.